That's right. So, Rich, come on up. Come on up. This is Rich Farthing. Rich is one of our Iowa missionaries. He's an Assemblies of God World Missionary, appointed and ordained with the Assemblies of God Fellowship. Been on the field since 93. And so anyhow, Rich is going to bring the word, share some stories, updates, and so it's all yours.
Amen. Thank you. Well, it is a joy to be here. I was just talking to one brother here. He was here when I was way back in 93 or so when we were raising support. And he said, I still got your first prayer card. And I look a little different. What happened with the hair? Well, he does too. He admitted it. Yeah. It is a joy to be here. And I want you to understand something. Everything that happens today when I share stories and stuff, when you see the video, it's because of you. Everything that happens is because you've been involved. You've been with us since day one, so to speak, and there are no Lone Ranger Christians. Together we make it. Together we can make a difference. Together we cannot be stopped because our God reigns. So I want you to know that God has done tremendous things in Bolivia, and you're going to see that through our video, and then I'm going to share a bit. But just give yourselves a little pat on the back, say, thank you, Lord, for using me. And what has happened? Go ahead and fire this up.
That is enough.
Thank you. Thank you for being a part of what God has done. Truly, it is miraculous. Hundreds have been saved. Kids changed. I was just looking at this. I did this stupid thing, and I still cry when I watch it. But one of the photos is a sister holding a little baby on her lap inside the prison before we had the Hope Center done. I'll be walking her down the graduation aisle in December. I mean, it just doesn't get any better than that. You see, what we're about as a family of God is demonstrating the love of Jesus. We just can't sit back and talk about it. We got to demonstrate it. We allow people to see Jesus through us and how we act, what we say, what we do. And we can change a world for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Everything you see there, I mean, I think now I'm 35 to 40 churches, I don't know, I've lost track. But everything you see there is because of what you've done. Sandy and I couldn't be there except for the fact you and churches like you have been involved giving, sometimes sacrificially, allowing us to be there and to what I tell the Bolivians down there, yo soy manguera, I'm a hose. We become hoses for Jesus that we can impact a world for him. This morning, I want you to know that we need to keep doing that until Jesus comes, and that's kind of the title of what I want to share today, until Jesus comes, and I'm gonna run. I'm going to try to incorporate some stories, and you know, probably not be able to share all of them, but I've got zillions of stories. I want you to know you missed some good ones in Sunday school this morning. I was able to share quite a few. I'm going to jump out of Scripture, John 3:16. Everybody knows that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Father, in the name of Jesus, would you have your way today? Would you shake us up, stir us up, use us for your glory? We thank you for what you've done, but we know we've got more to do until Jesus comes. Be glorified this morning, I pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. These words should literally ring in our ears. It's a well-known verse, but it's got to go beyond that. It should cause us to reflect. It should cause us to think. It should stir us up. It should ring in our ears every day of our lives. It should reach the very depths of our innermost being. They should motivate us to do even more for Jesus, because God loves the world. These words typify missions. Missions is all about Jesus coming into this world. And I want to look at three truths found in this verse very quickly. The first is love. The second is power. The third is sacrifice. I've always been convinced that the motivating factor for missions is love. It's more than obedience. I've heard so often throughout the years, we go, we're in missions because we're being obedient to the Word of God, but it's got to be more than that. Obedience doesn't do the trick. Love does the trick. What does the Bible say? If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So what needs to happen in our lives is we need to fall in love with Jesus all over again. We need to allow the love of God to permeate us, because if we are truly in love with Jesus, what we're going to do is we're going to get involved in the work of the kingdom. We're going to become hoses for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. It's more than obedience. It's all about love, for God so loved. I want to tell you a story about Gregorio. Gregorio, from the time he was 18 until he was 27, was involved in the drug trade, making cocaine. He was captured while trying to smuggle 100 pounds of cocaine from an area that's called the Chapati, which was where all the drugs are, or the cocaine is fabricated in Bolivia. He was put in jail and turned extremely violent while he was there. After nearly killing another prisoner, he was put into solitary confinement. While he was in this small cell, it's about a 6x6 cell, just big enough to lay down, no bed, no anything else, just one little window in it. He was put in solitary confinement. It was a cold room in the middle of the winter. God showed his love to him. He says, when he got out of solitary confinement while he was in there, he just knew he wanted to turn his life around. And he said he just began to reflect on what was happening. He felt like God spoke to him while he was in the cell. So he says, when he got out, he knew he wanted to change his life, but he didn't know how. But God loves him so much, what did he do? He sent a converted prisoner to him, who in turn hooked him up with the AG Church, a church you saw there inside that we built inside the prison. He hooked him up with the AG Church. And what did happen to Gregorio? He got saved. And God began to work in his life, and God began to change that young man. And he started working and studying what we called, in those days, it's gone now, and now we call it global, but it's called the ICI program. We still use the material in there. We brought it in. We don't charge any of the prisoners. They can come in. They can study about Jesus. He began to study about Jesus, and God just began to work in his life. And you know what he's doing now? Well, he got out of the prison, went to the seminary, also the Bible school you saw there. He became a pastor with the Assemblies of God, and today he's a presbyter, a leader in the Assemblies of God Church. Why do things like that happen? Because God loves us. God loves us. No matter where we're at in life, no matter how far we've gone downhill, no matter what we've done in our lives, we are not out of the reach of the King and King and Lord of Lords. He loves us. He loves us. So what we need to understand is people see God's love through us. He begins to change lives through us, and we need to become the hose that God can use. Miriam was a little girl who was moved out of the women's prison. We were so concerned. My wife was working inside the prison. It was before the Hope Center was built, and she was in there working. They were going to move Miriam out because she was too old. And they're overcrowded, and so Sandy was so upset about it. We began praying about, Lord, you got to do something. You got to do something. And we were actually itinerating up here when it happened. And so we began to pray, and lo and behold, this girls' home. There's a girls' home there run by a Baptist couple. They have 12, allow 12 girls to come in. They just happened to have room. Now I don't believe in coincidences. I believe that's God. And they took Miriam into the home, and when we got back from itineration, we went to see her. It had been now a year plus since we had seen her. Now Sandy has always struggled a bit with the language, and I used to sometimes, come on, you need to work on this, you need to work on this. But the kids just loved her. She just worked well. When I watched what happened when we went to see Miriam just burst out crying when she saw Sandy. And ran over and hugged her. And the Lord spoke to my heart. He says, see, it's not about language, it's about love. See, we can love people to the kingdom of God. We must demonstrate Jesus. Let them see Jesus. Love on them. Let them know that Jesus loves them, and he loves them through you. And if we do that, our churches are going to grow. They're going to be, instead of having empty seats, they're going to be overflowing, and they're going to keep growing. You're going to need more room. You're going to go to two services. You're going to wear your pastor out. That's what happens. It's all about demonstrating the love of Jesus. We can't sit back and be comfortable in our pews. We must demonstrate, and there is a cost to it. The thing about agape love, it hurts. It hurt God the Father. You think it's easy for him to send his son down here and for Christ to die on the cross? It hurts. when you throw yourself out, sometimes there's somebody there that's just really, really ready to stick you. It hurts. But you know what else about agape love? It's eternal. You reach people for Jesus, and you begin to demonstrate the love of God in your lives, and great things happen, and we can't be stopped because our God reigns. You see, if we're going to reach a world for Jesus, we must allow people to see Jesus in our lives. Rosalia, her and her four brothers entered the home. They were a sad situation. They actually weren't from the prison. They were from the neighborhood, and I got word about these five kids that were suffering, almost starving from not being able to have any food. Their mother was killed, and their dad was a drunk, and he spent all his time out drinking, wasn't taking care of the kids, and they were just starving. So I went to investigate and found these kids just suffering. The oldest one, when I got permission finally from the father and talked to him, he let us bring him in. The oldest one, the first meal he had, he started stuffing food down his shirt because he was so used to scraping by, and we told him, you don't need to do that. We're going to take care of you. Well, God began to work, and has worked. Two of them now are in the army. We still have the two younger brothers, and Rosalia, who just turned 18, and just this last 10 days ago, I baptized her. She said yes to Jesus. What happened in her life? Well, it was simple. She saw the love of Jesus. You see, if we demonstrate the love of Jesus, people are going to come because there's something special about Jesus. For God so loved. And that's what we need to do. We need to love. Love is the key. Love is the key that makes a difference. Love is the key that will open the doors. Love is the key that will allow us to change lives in the name of Jesus. But it doesn't just stop with love. We need something else. We need the power. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Note those words. Should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's a statement of power. Only God can say that we are saved. Only God has the power to give us everlasting life. It is a statement of power, statement of fact, power to save. At the Bolivian Hope Center now, we've had well over 500 saved. Over 100 were inside the prison that got saved. In Itimbinguasu, when I went to this village called Itimbinguasu, we knew it was a long ways out. It's a four-wheel drive trip. We had to get Capitan. He's the chief of the village. And he says yes, and everybody says okay. He says no or jump, and they say how high. That's the authority he has. So we got to the village, and it was an unreached village, and I had my friend and guide with me, Emilio, who's a Guarani, and we went to the Capitan and asked permission to share, and he said no. The thing is, I had no backup plan. We just four-wheeled drive about an 18-hour trip into this village, and I had no backup plan, so I'm standing by the truck talking to Emilio. My son's running around. He had this wonderful gift just to blend so well with the Indians, and so he's making friends with the Indians real quick. And as we're standing there, the Capitan comes back. He says, I've changed my mind. He says, I'm going to let you share tonight, and everybody's going to come. You know what happened? God just used Guarani culture for his glory. God, because he loves the people of Guarani, he loved the village of Itimbinguasu, and he used his power to change the mind of the Capitan, and he used the culture of the Guarani to say when the Capitan said everybody's going to come, guess what? I had a captive audience. And they were curious. We're praising God, and we're excited, and I'm sharing they're curious about these guys that are white people come in, want to know why we come all this way, and they're curious about the English language, and Guarani are very musical people. They like to sing. They learn to play on their own different instruments, and of all things, they wanted Shane and I to sing in English. Well, we're not singers. The great thing is when it's another language, they don't know whether you sound good or not, So we went ahead and sang, I have decided to follow Jesus for him. We sang it to him in English, we sang it in Spanish, and it was the one song we did know in Guarani, so we sang it in Guarani too. Well, it was a great time, and they were curious about what was going on, and the thing is, a situation like that, you just kind of got to go from the beginning. So we actually started from Genesis and just ran through the creation story all the way through. And by the time it was all said and done, God just did a wonderful thing. You know how many people got saved that night? 52. Today we have a church in Itembenguasu. You see, things like that happen is because God loves us, and God has the power. God has the power to save us. He has he can change a village. I shared this one about Capiatindi. I think it was Capiatindi that I shared there, or Camidi, I can't remember. There's so many villages, but Capiatindi. We go in there and get permission to share, and the captain says, "We've heard of you for 18 years, and we've been waiting for you to come." That's God. God does that thing. God does that because he loves us, and only God has the power to save us. We went to Guaswante. I told that story today. God used a tent where they are afraid. They'd never seen a white person before. They're afraid of us, and God used a tent to break the ice. And today we have a church there, and that church is strong. And so that was in 1996. And I just this last month preached to a new region that is formed off that church. 16 churches now, and the pastor was about this high when I met him, and now he's the presbyter of the region. Things like that happen because our God loves us, and he alone has the power to save us. You see, it's all about loving people and knowing that God has the power to make a difference in our lives. You heard the story. I read the story about Gregorio. Not only does God have the power to save, but he has the power to change. Things can get a bit rough in prison. Bigger boys were bullying other kids when Sandy is in there working. So Sandy put her arm around one of the boys and told him how happy she was that he was coming, that she loved him, and more importantly, that God loved him too. She gave him a little hug and walked away. She began these little chats every day with each boy individually about how much God loves him. After about 3 weeks, she noticed a miraculous change. She entered the prison, and there was the group of boys waiting for her. They offered to help her carry up the various children's ministry things. She had never had another problem with fights or the bigger boys taking anything from the smaller ones again. In fact, each week the boys became what they said, "We're going to be your special helpers." And they wanted to help her carry all the stuff in, and each one came to know Jesus as their personal Savior. Sometime later, she was reminded again of the miraculous change as she was leaving the prison. Edson, one of the older boys, said, "My hands are full, but here are my arms." He gave her a big hug and thanked her for coming to the prison. See, God loves us, and God alone has the power to save us, and God alone has the power to change us. Wilfredo and Alfredo, they're twin brothers. They came to the Believing Hope Center. They were kind of bullies, always mad, always hitting somebody. And God began to work in their lives. They went to being bullies to kids full of love who wanted hugs. Wilfredo also drive me nuts because I always want a hug, and he'd come up and poke me in the stomach. Say, "Jelly belly, jelly belly." His way of showing his love. You see, God can do those things because he loves us, and he alone has the power to save us and the power to change us. He has the power to provide. We are ministering in the village of Tapera. Tapera is a Guarani village, and Guarani are a very jealous culture. And so what you do for one, you have to do for the other. And we had taken enough material for the kids for this village, but several other villages that were close by began coming. And Sandy comes and tells me, "We're running out of stuff. What are we going to do?" And I said, "Well, let's just give it until we run out." Well, guess what? We never ran out. Why? Because God has the ability, the power to provide everything we need, everything that's necessary in our lives. You say, "I can't do this." You're right, you can't, but he can. If we will allow ourselves to be hoses for the King of Kings, it's watch out world, here we come, because our God who loves us, our God who's the power to save us, the power to change us, also has the power to provide everything we need. And if we will say yes to him, if we will simply be obedient, if we will allow ourselves to be used, this watch out world, here we come. BGMC, you saw in the video the kids jumping up and down the blankets. That was provided by our kids. And BGMC, by you guys. I'll never in my life forget that as long as I live. They were jumping up and down. They were excited about getting blankets because they had been sleeping on a cold, hard floor with no blankets. And I thought to myself, no child should get so excited about blank, because we had kids that were literally suffering. And now, because of our kids here through BGMC, they have blankets and a place to sleep. The Bolivian Hope Center has a playground because of BGMC. BGMC. You see, together, no matter what our age is, whether we're little ones, whether we're adults, whether we're teenagers, teenagers speed the light, we've used sound equipment. That vehicle to get in the backcountry, lives have been changed because your involvement, because you've said, yes, I will, yes, I'll do it. It makes a difference. Together we can make a difference. Together we can change a world for Jesus. You saw in the video, churches built, a seminary that's built, that today we have missionaries from Bolivia that are in Africa and other parts of the world that have gone to, that were prepared inside the seminary because of your giving, because of your faithful support throughout the years. You see, together we make a difference. Together we can do, together we can change the world, and together with God as our supplier using it. Now, I want you to understand this. We are truly dependent upon the Lord. But God chose to use his people as well. So let's not get a thing, oh, the Lord will provide. No, the Lord provides through us. Together we make a difference. Together, when we allow God to use us, when we become the hose, it's watch out world, here we come. Because together, us as a team, with God as our leader, with God as our strength, our source, a God of love, a God of power, we can make a difference and change a world for the King of Kings. But it's together we do it. Together. We are a, I'm sorry, but we are a greedy nation. If you don't believe me, go visit most of the rest of the world. Go visit the people that are excited about having a dirt floor and a tin roof to worship the Lord. Go visit the people that are willing to give money for missions that don't make $20 or $30 a month. That are willing to sacrifice because they know what God has done for them, and so they want to do it for somebody else. Go and visit them, and then I can guarantee it'll change your life. I thought I knew until I went there. But we must grasp a hold of these truths, allow the love of God to flow through us, allow his power to work in and through us. But it just doesn't stop there, and that's what I've kind of already alluded to. There's sacrifice. There's sacrifice. For God so loved the world, key words, he gave. He gave. Think about it. Jesus, he left his home. He left glory. He gave up his dignity. Made himself, the Bible says, of no reputation. Taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. He gave it all for you and I. That sacrifice. We know he gave his life. Paul says, I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him. I want you to know that the Bolivian Hope Center is a place to change lives. In the prison, the living conditions were deplorable. I mean, when we first started going in there, it was a little canal of open sewer that they all had to live with. They had about 10 rooms that are just big enough for a small bed, smaller than a twin bed, like a cot, for one prisoner to go in. And that prisoner had to buy that room. Everybody else just slept on the open concrete floors. The children would sleep on the open concrete floors and be subject to whatever happened inside the prison. It was a horrible place. No beds, no blankets, lack of clothing, shoes, lack of food. But because of BGMC and Speed the Light, we are able to provide all that. Sound equipment so Sandy could share and I could share inside the prison. Speed the Light. Blankets for the kids. Feeding program. It started at one day a week, and as we saw the need, it went to 6 days a week. And that's because of BGMC. BGMC. And then God opened the door where we could build what you saw as the Bolivian Hope Center. to get them out of that. I want you to know that children sacrifice to do a lot of that. Children in Missouri, they went to work to raise funds for our kids. Some of the children in Iowa rocked all night to raise funds for our kids. BGMC, you guys, again, our playground, the blankets, made a difference, food for our kids. A little boy in Tennessee gave his favorite teddy bear to me to bring to one of the Hope Center kids and inspired others to do the same. Another empties out his piggy bank because he wants to help the kids at the Bolivian Hope Center. I want you to know that missions is the heartbeat of God. We need your help. Other missionaries need your help so we can reach a world for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I got a daughter that's over in Comoros off the east coast of Africa. Her and her husband are serving there. I mean, the needs are all over, literally. Together we can make a difference. I'd like to build another church in the backcountry before I retire. I am getting old, you know. It costs about $12,000 to do that. I can't do it. I don't have $12,000 in my pocket. But I know with God's help and with God's people, it can be done. We can get the funds raised. I know that the Bolivian Hope Center, I've turned the leadership over to the Bolivian Hope Center now to a new couple that will take over because they were MAPS workers or missionary associates with us, and now we've turned it over to them. And I know the Bolivian Hope Center still needs monthly support so we can continue to make a difference in the children's lives. See, the needs never stop. But we can make a difference if we work together, if we're motivated by love, for God so loved, if we recognize his power to save, power to change, power to provide, and if we're willing to sacrifice. The world needs your help. It starts here at home and goes around the world. I'm here today in front of you because I live next door to a fruitcake. He was a fruitcake for Jesus. I thought he was nuts when I met him, didn't want nothing to do with him, but what he did is he built a bridge called friendship. And at 28 years old, I said yes to Jesus, and it changed my life. And it's because of a man named Les Arne. I praise God that he was willing to demonstrate the love of Jesus. And he recognized the power of God to save even somebody like me. And he was willing to sacrifice. My wife warned him before I was saved that I was kind of a mean person. That he was willing to risk that to share Jesus with me. And I praise God for it. Again, I want to say thank you for being a part of what God is doing in Bolivia, but that the work is not done. There's lots more to do. There's many more to be saved, starting here, going around the world until we see Jesus come once again. God bless you.